It's 8 p.m. Stay with us. Outbeat Radio is next.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Outbeat Radio on KRCB Windsor Santa Rosa, a program that focuses on issues by, for, and or about members of the gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender communities. You can hear Outbeat Radio every Sunday night at 8 p.m.
This is Living Proof, and we're your hosts. I'm Dr. Diana Grayer, and next to me is my co-host and wife, Sheridan Gold. Tonight in studio, we are interviewing August Sanger, a transgendered male, a fabulous actor, caregiver, and he's so adorable.
Hi, August.
Hi. How you doing?
Thank you for being here.
No problem.
We met August when he auditioned for Diana's play, Private Lives, Private Lies, and he's been with the play in all its performances and will continue to be a part of it in Ukiah when the play is performed there in September.
And we are really excited to have him. He's kind of playing the shy role for a bit, but he is not shy. Just wait until you get ready to hear his story. And we look forward to hearing him share about his life. But first, as always, we will have our Outbeat member, Greg Moralia, talk about the news and events. Thank you.
I have found Outbeat Radio News, your source for LGBT news from the North Bay and beyond.
Good evening, this is Greg Moralia with your Outbeat Radio News for this Sunday, July 3rd, 2016. Last weekend saw huge pride celebrations in Chicago, San Francisco, and of course New York, where it all started. A standout of this year's New York Pride was the dedication of the Stonewall Inn as a national landmark. Here's President Barack Obama.
Back in 1969, as a turbulent decade was winding down, the Stonewall Inn was a popular gathering place for New York City's LGBT community. At the time, being gay, lesbian, bisexual, or transgender was considered obscene, illegal, even a mental illness. One night, police raided the bar and started arresting folks. Raids like these were nothing new, but this time the patrons had had enough, so they stood up and spoke out. The riots became protests. The protests became a movement. The movement ultimately became an integral part of America. So this week, I'm designating the Stonewall National Monument as the newest addition to America's national park system. Stonewall will be our first national monument to tell the story of the struggle for LGBT rights. I believe our national park should reflect the full story of our country, the richness and diversity and uniquely American spirit that has always defined us, that we are stronger together, that out of many, we are one.
And here locally, the 46th annual Pride celebration in San Francisco came off without a hitch and without any violence, thanks to additional police officers and private security who screened everyone who entered the Civic Center celebration. Following the shooting at the Pulse Bar in Orlando, San Francisco Pride officials added metal detectors and security officers at every point of entry to the two-day Pride celebration at the Civic Center. I was there on both days and saw how it worked. It was smooth, and there was very little waiting in line for anyone. Police officers were very visible in the Castro on Saturday and Sunday night, despite the fact that there was no street party on Pink Saturday. Over 240 contingents marched in the parade on Sunday. Community organization Grand Marshal Black Lives Matter pulled out of the parade at the last minute because of the additional police presence, but their absence was hardly noticed, and this year's celebration was great fun. And in Guerneville, over $35,000 was raised to support the victims of the Orlando shooting. The Russian River Sisters joined forces with Michael Volpott and Rainbow co-owner Robert Fredericks to raise $20,000 from a Give Back Thursday dinner and auction they put together. The Federated Indians of Grayton Rancheria and Grayton Resort and Casino donated $10,000 to the Sonoma County Pride to pass on to Orlando. And finally, the R3 Hotel hosted an event last Friday that raised another $8,000. All of this money will be added to the over $5.8 million raised nationwide to support the victims. Pretty impressive. And finally, last Wednesday, the Sonoma Voices and LGBTQ Connection hosted the very first Santa Rosa Youth Pride Celebration. The event was put together by Sunshine Hartwell.
This event was originally I just had a little bit of an idea. We were just going to do a Pride barbecue, which is what it is, but we wanted to make it even bigger and include not just youth, but community partners and community members and make it a huge Santa Rosa Youth Pride event.
Over 70 people attended the event, mostly youth, but some adults, including Santa Rosa Mayor John Sawyer, who was hard at work at the barbecue, grilling burgers for everyone. Sunshine told me that the entire event was free and there was no cost to the youth who attended. I asked her how they were able to fund such an event.
We just have some supplies. We know how to put on events using a budget, so that's what we do. We use the budget. We have some of our staff know how to do face paint. We have connections with the Forestville Teen Clinic who are out there running a booth. And the only thing that we bought was the food supplies and the basic supplies like forks, knives, and that sort of thing. And we have an event.
Sonoma Voices and the LGBTQ Connection hope to make this an annual event. For information about upcoming LGBT events happening here in the North Bay, go to gaysonoma.com. And for all the latest LGBT news, go to our website at outbeatnews.com. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter for updates from Outbeat Radio News all week long. For Gary Carnevale, I'm Greg Moralia. Now back to Living Proof with Sheridan Gold and Dr. Diana Greer.
Outbeat Radio News, your source for LGBT news from the North Bay and beyond.
And welcome back to Outbeat Radio, Living Proof. And Diana and myself, Sheridan, we are in studio with August Singer, a wonderful human being that we've been so honored and privileged to know. And so we invited him to come here and so he could introduce himself to a larger audience.
That's right. Yes, August has a huge couple roles in private lives and private lives, and that's how we met him, like Cher said. And I am proud to say he is excellent actor. And I just want to jump in right there because this is how we met you. So we can start at this place, and then we can go from there. We can go all around the world of your life.
All right.
All 23 years of it. So just how is it to be in private lives, private lives? I mean, what has happened since April, what's our first show, April 1st?
April 1st, yeah. It's been amazing. I've seen people come and go. I've been here since the beginning. But yeah, it's definitely transformative. It really helped me get over a lot of things from my past, family issues and things and such.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. Just keep going with that. How did it help you?
The play is very personal. If you haven't seen it yet, you should come see us in Ukiah. So basically it's four stories kind of all intertwined together. And it breaks them up really well. They're all stories that in one way or another, LGBT or not, we've all gone through these issues or seen somebody who's gone through these issues. So, I definitely, felt really closely with the issues that are in the play. I don't want to give away too much information. So it really cut me deep. It made me deal with all the issues and not just, keep them on the back burner and ignore them. But the cast has also been absolutely amazing. So working with everybody and feeling the love from everybody really helped heal a lot of those wounds that I had open.
Mm-hmm. So, is it true that you haven't acted before? This is like your first go round with private lives, private lives?
I acted in high school, but I graduated in 2011. So, it's been 5 years,
uh-huh.
4 years, something like that.
Uh-huh. Wow. Did you have any leading roles or anything? I don't know much about your acting career,
no,
really.
No. Yeah. I started in the fifth grade. And I went through middle school and then I just a couple in high school, but I was never a lead or anything. Uh-huh. Just background.
And why not?
I don't know. I didn't do the casting.
Well, I mean, how do you feel about your acting ability now? I mean,
I've heard nothing but good things, so I mean, I feel pretty confident. Uh-huh. I definitely love doing it.
Yeah, you said it was transformational, and I'm curious, how have you been transformed?
Wow. I feel like I've grown a lot as a person, as an actor as well, but really as a person. You know, when I first started, with all the wounds that I definitely had, we'll get into that later, but regarding family, I've really grown and allowed myself to be more of who I am and not really care what anybody else thinks of that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I think the audience probably saying, now what is going on here with August?
Probably.
What is he not saying? So let's just jump in. So you're 23.
Mm-hmm.
And you've been in the world that long.
Yep.
In life. So let's go back a little bit.
All right.
About when you were growing up with your family, with your mom. Tell us a little bit about your growing up when you were younger.
Okay. Well, I was born in Paradise, California. My mom and my dad, they split up when I was, I think, 10 months old was the story I was told. So I actually have never met my biological father. However, we do talk now. I found him online at 18 and we've talked ever since. But she left him. I guess there were a lot of drugs and alcohol involved. So she left him and she got with my first stepdad when I was, I think, 3. And he was really abusive physically, verbally to her and I both. But she didn't know that he was being abusive to me. So when she found out, she sent me to stay with my grandma for a couple months while she could safely leave him. And once she did that, I got my new stepdad when I was 4. And he's not the nicest guy. I mean, he's not physical, but he's definitely a jerk to her and me both. Growing up with my mom... she's no saint. Love her to death, but she's no saint. She's an alcoholic. She was in recovery for a while. She's not anymore. Didn't stay there for too long. She was also extremely abusive to me, physically, verbally, any way you can imagine, manipulative. It was awful, actually. Growing up was kind of like living in jail. I was allowed to go to school and come home and do chores and homework and watch TV, play video games, you know, but that was really it. It wasn't until, I think, middle school that I was actually allowed to go to one of my friends' houses for a couple of hours. And that actually ended up terrible because I forgot to check in and then I got in a lot of trouble when I got home.
So you were born as... Who?
Female, yeah. I was born female.
Yeah, that was a huge part.
Yeah, that was. I did leave that out. I was born female, and I knew pretty young that something didn't match up quite right, but I lived with really conservative parents who didn't really introduce me to anything LGBT. So I knew something was weird. One of my older cousins, a boy, I'd always steal his boxers and his shorts and his t-shirts because that's what I liked to wear. My mom wouldn't buy that for me. So that happened. I was always, you know, just kind of a tomboy. It wasn't until I think it was eighth grade that a girl kissed me and everything changed after that. I dated guys, but we always broke up after a couple of weeks because I wasn't feeling it. And after a while, I started telling my girlfriends, hey, you know, just call me your boyfriend. Call me Mister. And I guess lucky enough, nobody really ever questioned it. But I always just kind of thought it was like some fetish or something. Like I said, I wasn't really introduced to anything LGBT. So like I had heard of like, quote, sex changes. But that was all I really thought of it. And it wasn't until I got a little older, 18 actually, that I realized it wasn't a sex change at all. And it was way deeper than that. I told my current girlfriend when I was 18 that dressing in girls' clothes made me feel like I was cross-dressing. And like I said, I always just thought I was just kind of weird, and it was a phase that would pass. And then my mom kicked me out for dating girls. This happened actually twice. But the second time was when I was 18. And so I went and I lived with my girlfriend and her wonderful mother for having me. And I was sitting on the couch one day watching a documentary on Netflix about a trans guy. And that was when it hit me that the way he said he felt was exactly what I was feeling. And so I told my girlfriend, and we talked about it for like a year before I ever came out to anybody.
So I have a question. I want to interrupt you because I could tell the listeners have this question too.
Okay.
What was it that the guy said that you said, yes, I feel exactly that same way? What was that?
It was everything he said, but it was the fact that I had never heard of it either. So I'm sitting there watching, you know, this thing about this trans guy, and I didn't know this stuff really was a thing. Like, I honestly thought this was a problem that if it didn't pass, I'd have to just deal with forever because there was nothing I could do about it. And, you know, he said that, you know, he had felt it since he was young, that he knew something was different. That, you know, he definitely felt like a male, like a guy. And I knew that was how I felt, but again, didn't know there was anything you could do about it. So when, you know, he said he talked to his mom, lucky for him, everything went well. She helped him get on hormones and everything. And again, I didn't even know that was a thing. So when I saw this happen, I was like, wow, there's something I can do about it.
It's amazing, you know, that you, I mean, just what, 5 years ago, you know?
Yeah.
Just that they didn't have anything in your school, like a GSA or some kind of
There was a GSA, but trans people are often just kind of left out. It's LGB, and everybody kind of forgets about the T, so I had never heard of it. There was nobody at my school. It was always lesbian, gay, bisexual, but yeah, we had never heard of anything about trans people.
So did you wait till after you graduated high school to do something about it? Or you said you talked to your girlfriend for a year.
Yeah. As a female, I went through high school as a female, even though, you know, like I said, I knew something was different, but I didn't know what to call it because I'd never heard of it. So I went all through high school as female, and my mom kicked me out, like I said, for dating girls. There was a lot more to that. There was a lot of abuse, and then she finally kicked me out, which at the time seemed awful, but ended up being a really good thing for me. So yeah, it was after that, it was a few months after I got kicked out, that I was sitting at my girlfriend's house on the couch watching Netflix.
I see. Uh-huh.
And yeah. Uh-huh. And then I didn't medically start transitioning until I think I was 20.
Uh-huh. So the process, how did you do that? Did you do your research, or did you go to a group after that? Female to male group, or?
Yeah. So at first, like I said, I talked with my girlfriend for a long time. There's actually a funny story because she referred to me as him once, and it was before I had told anybody else. And I kind of yelled at her and I said, don't call me that. And so she called me a female pronoun, and I yelled at her and I said, don't call me that. And she got really frustrated and she's like, well, what do you want me to call you? And I was like, I don't know. So yeah, like I said, we thought about it for a long time, and then I finally, you know, decided to roll with it. And what happened was I went online and I started looking up therapists, just to talk to about it. And I found one through Positive Images in Santa Rosa, who helped me out. I saw her for, well, I think 2 years. And after talking to her for some time, it was a few months for sure. And she said that hormones would probably be a good idea. So, I went through a clinic and I got a doctor and we talked, and I mean, it was one visit, and after that we ran blood tests. As soon as the blood test came back clear, she wrote me a prescription, and I mean, I was on testosterone within a month after that. So
So it sounds like an easy process. Did the therapist have to sign papers or write a letter?
No, actually, which is weird, because online that's what you hear is like you have to have these letters and all of this stuff. And maybe in different states or other counties, maybe. But yeah, it was actually really surprisingly easy for me.
Was that here in Santa Rosa?
Yeah, that was in Santa Rosa.
Huh.
Yeah, so.
Wow, that's really important information to
it is,
put out. You know,
so if somebody was listening to the show right now and they said, I want to do what he just did, how do I do it? What would you say?
I would say there's a clinic in Santa Rosa. It's on Round Barn. I don't remember the name of the clinic. I can give the name of the doctor. Her name was Dr. Suji. Fantastic doctor. Like I said, I saw her one time and I thought it was going to be this huge thing, because even my therapist thought so. And she was like, you know, be ready for them to ask you like really intense questions, really personal questions, which I obviously wasn't looking forward to. But I showed up. She was really cool. And I just kind of told her, you know, I'm trans and I want to get on hormones. That was honestly basically it. There was nothing personal, nothing weird, nothing that, like, you know, made me kind of sink into my shell. Like, no, nothing. She was like, okay, you know, this is what we got to do. Got to run some blood tests as soon as those come back clear. And like I said, she did. And she wrote me the prescription. And, I mean, I had it within 2 weeks probably.
So I'm really curious about how this hormone, testosterone, made you feel, and when you started to feel a change and how you felt about that change.
I mean, it's kind of weird. I tell people all the time, you don't even realize how much hormones really affect you. It's kind of trippy, honestly. But yeah, I felt the difference like right away. I started eating like a cow, but
so that's what men do.
Yeah. We eat a lot, but yeah, my body temperature went up. I started sweating. I started during the summer, and so it was crazy. All the physical changes, like the hair and the voice, that didn't happen for like 2 or 3 months, at least noticeably. But mentally, I really felt it like right away. It also just made me feel a lot better. As slow as the changes were that happened, it was like every one hair that sprouted on my cheek, it was like, oh my goodness, wow, this is awesome. And then every octave my voice dropped lower. It was amazing. So it was this like slow journey of actually becoming who I felt I was. So it was really, really cool.
Like almost when you were talking, it was like the inside and the outside were matching up.
Basically, yeah. I tell people also, it's like I feel like, you know, this person that I was before hormones and the person that I am now were actually two completely different people. Because, I mean, I would look in the mirror back then and I mean, literally not recognize the person standing in front of me. And it's a terrible feeling, honestly.
Mm. Wow. This is like, I mean, this is really so important that you're saying all this, August, because it reminds me of a situation where we at the play, we had some teens in the audience, and one of the teens went home and told his mom. Sure, go ahead and finish the story.
Yeah, he just really related to your character, Johnny, and he said to his foster mom, that's how I feel, and I don't know what to do about it. And that opened up the discussion for him to, for her to help him explore and then get hooked up with PI.
So this is exactly why we want to put it in the high schools, because you had no modeling, no.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, you didn't know
it's
what
important.
To do.
Like I said, it was all because I didn't know. Because as soon as I heard of it, I was like, wow, that's me. Mm-hmm. You know, there was no question about it. So.
Yeah. So we're really going to have to push this. But thank you so much for sharing
absolutely.
That. So how do you feel? I mean, I don't know how often you have to tell this story on the radio.
Not often at all, actually. This might be the first.
So, no, but how do you feel expressing it and sharing this part of yourself?
It's cool. My girlfriend's a huge part of my life, so I'll probably talk about her a lot. But I tell her all the time, you know, like this kind of thing is what I've actually always wanted to do. I want to reach people. I want people to know. I want to make a difference in someone's life. Because even if it's just one person in my lifetime, which I'm sure it hasn't been already, but even if it's just one person that I made a positive difference in their life, then I did something worthwhile in my life. So
absolutely. Mm-hmm. That is fantastic. There's so many people who have stories that are very hush hush, secretive, shy, I don't know, whatever word you want to put in there. So they keep all that knowledge to themselves too.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? I spent my whole life being shut up by my mom, so I'm kind of really over that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's a good thing. I'm glad that you're over it because you have so much to offer. Yeah.
Thank you.
Now you have a YouTube channel. Can you tell us about it?
You want us to?
Yeah, no, that's fine. I actually recently just decided to start making more videos again because I stopped after a while, just life got too busy. But the channel's actually, it's just all, you know, one word, all lowercase, but it's Waffle and Jerky 77. Anyway, that's the channel name.
Some meaning behind that? You like waffles and you eat jerky?
Literally, basically, yeah.
Really?
And my favorite number is 7. So there you go. But yeah, I have a couple videos up. I like write poems up there too. So there's actually one poem up there, possibly two. And then a few videos regarding my transition. And like I said, I stopped for a really long time, but I mean, honestly, maybe even this week, I'm about to kick back up and start new videos. So check it out.
Mm-hmm. And you're also writing, aren't you?
I do write. Yep. Very into poems. So.
Did you bring any poems tonight?
You know, I meant to. I actually couldn't find the notebook that had the one that I wanted to read. But yeah.
Okay. Well, before we are going to break for a music break. But before we do that, I have one last question to ask you and then we'll take a break. But you did mention your girlfriend. And you said she's a very important part of your life. So you can tell us a little bit about her and your relationship with her?
Absolutely. So I met her when I was 17. And it was actually the first time that my mom kicked me out of the house. I went to go stay with my aunt and uncle for my senior year of high school. And that's when I met her. So I met her at a really low point in my life. You know, I had just been kicked out. On the uphand, I wasn't being physically abused that year, so that was good. But, you know, just the pain behind being kicked out. And so I met her, and she has actually told me that at first she thought I was arrogant and conceited and basically wanted nothing to do with me. And, you know, when I met her, it was just like I actually had a girlfriend still, long distance. And so, you know, I didn't want anything but friendship. But we started talking more and more and more, and you know, I found myself calling her instead of my girlfriend to talk to on the phone. And, you know, then me and my girlfriend broke up. And me and my current girlfriend, her name's Haley, we started getting closer and closer. I started staying up really late, talking to her on the phone. We rewrote letters all the time. So she came at a really good point in my life and has been nothing but supportive ever since. Her family's absolutely amazing. Her family has been, you know, a huge reason that I've been able to get over the rejection of mine.
You know, so she was with you when you were female.
She was, yeah. We got together as a lesbian couple.
So how? I wish she was here, but I understand she has to work.
Yeah.
Well, I tell you what, we'll take a break.
Yeah.
All right.
But the question for me is, you know, going from a lesbian couple to a heterosexual couple, that's quite something.
Yeah.
And I'm sure everybody who's listening has some feelings about that.
Probably.
And I'd like to explore that with you.
All right.
After the music break. Could you introduce the song that you'd like to play for our music break?
Yeah, the song is Where's the Love by the Black Eyed Peas. My favorite song, so.
All right. Enjoy.
Trauma overseas, yeah, we trying to stop terrorism, but we still got terrorists. is here living in the USA, the big CIA, the Bloods and the Crips and the KKK. But if you only have love for your own race, then you only leave space to discriminate. And to discriminate only generates hate. And when you hate, then you're bound to get irate. Yeah, madness is what you demonstrate. And that's exactly how anger works and operates. Man, you gotta have love just to set it straight. Take control of your mind and meditate. Let your soul gravitate to the love, y'all, y'all.
People killing, people dying, children hurt and you hear them crying. Can you practice what you preach and won't you turn the other cheek? Father, 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 help us. Send some guidance from above. These people got me questioning. Where is the love?
Change. New days are strange. Is the world insane? If love and peace is so strong, why are the pieces of love that don't belong? Nations dropping bombs, chemical gases filling lungs of little ones with ongoing suffering as the youth are young. So ask yourself, is the loving really gone? So I could ask myself, really what is going wrong in this world that we living in? People keep on giving in, making wrong decisions, only visions of them dividends. Not respecting each other, denying thy brother. A war's going on, but the reason's undercover. The truth is kept secret, it's swept under the rug. If you never know truth, then you never know. No love, what's the love, y'all? Come on,
I don't know.
What's the truth, y'all? Come on,
I don't know.
What's the love, y'all?
People killing, people dying, children hurt and you hear them crying. When you practice what you preach, and won't you turn the other cheek? Father, 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 help us.
The world on my shoulder. As I'm getting older, your people get colder. Most of us only care about money making. Selfishness got us following the wrong direction. Wrong information always shown by the media. Negative images is the main criteria. Infecting the young minds faster than bacteria. Kids wanna act like what they see in the cinema. Yeah. Whatever happened to the values of humanity? Whatever happened to the fairness and equality? Instead of spreading love, we're spreading animosity. Lack of understanding leading us away from unity. That's the reason why sometimes I'm feeling under. That's the reason why sometimes I'm feeling down. It's no wonder why sometimes I'm feeling under. Gotta keep my faith alive till love is found. Now ask yourself,
where is the love? Where is the love? Where is the love? One word, one word.
We only got
one word, one word.
That's all we got.
One word, one word.
And something's wrong with it. Yeah. Something's wrong with it.
Yeah.
Something's wrong with the good word, word. Yeah. We only got
one word, one word.
That's all we got.
One word.
And if you just joined us, that was the Black Eyed Peas singing Where is the Love. So, August, why is that your favorite song?
Like I said, I grew up in a lot of abuse, domestic violence as well. My parents were constantly screaming, fighting. My mom was always hitting them. It was terrible. The first time I heard it, I was probably no older than 11 or 12. And it really resonated with me because, you know, there's so much awfulness in the world and people do need to love more.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, beautiful.
Thank you. I've never heard that song before, so thanks for bringing it to my attention.
You're welcome.
And that's right, people do need to love more. Mm-hmm. And during the break, we're also listening to the song, but at the same time, we're having conversation in here about the topic of not having enough education about sexual orientation and gender identity. And our master professor here Greg Moralia was giving us some education of our own. So will you please share the knowledge that you have with everyone? Thank you.
Sure. Well, the really good news is I was listening to the story here, too, is that California now requires in the public school system as part of the sex education curriculum in 7th and 8th grade for there to be a very detailed conversation about sexual orientation and gender identity and what gender identity is and what gender expression is. And it's a conversation really designed to help young people begin to figure out who they are. If because that's about the time when people begin to explore. I mean, I know that's when it was for me. Mm-hmm. But it was a conversation we never had when I was in seventh grade. Mm-hmm. So it's new, and it's a really good thing.
Mm-hmm. And you had an experience. Just briefly say the experience that you had.
Yeah, I was invited to speak to a combined 7th and 8th grade class up in a small town in Napa County called Angwin. If you don't know where that is, it's a Seventh-day Adventist community. But there's a public school there, 78 kids total from kindergarten to 8th grade. And so the 7th and 8th grade combination teacher asked me to come in and do that piece of it, to talk about sexual orientation and gender identity with those students. So, and they were really interested. For them, there was at least two students in the class I was telling you about who it was very clear that they were beginning to think about and recognize mm-hmm. who they are.
Mm-hmm. Wow. That's so right on.
Cool. Yeah. Woo. Progress.
Progress. We love that. How does that sound, August?
Sounds amazing. What's your reaction? Sounds amazing. Yeah. I think that's definitely something, and especially 7th, 8th grade. It's definitely a time of like self exploration and, you know, figuring out who you are. So that's awesome.
And that for me, as a retired school teacher, when I did my work, my master's work, my thesis was on how to make schools safer for LGBTQ youth. And I would give trainings to teaching staff all over Marin County. And I got a lot of resistance from a lot of teachers. And now that the government has said, the state legislature, the governor has made a rule that this must be presented, it's really going to call a lot of teachers out as far as their own ideas of, you know, sexual orientation and gender and their own language and their own heterosexism. And I think that probably my colleagues will think back to the work that I tried to do and think, wow, Sheridan, she was really ahead of her time. I wish we had her now. But yeah, so great work, Greg. Mm-hmm. Love hearing about that stuff. Before the music break, we had talked about you and Haley, and we wanted to get back to your relationship when you were lesbians, two girls loving each other, and then you transitioned to male. So now you are a heterosexual couple. And how that transition was for her and for you as a couple. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, obviously her and I have talked a lot about it. You know, there are a lot of changes, obviously. You know, you go from dating someone who, you know, you think is a girl, and all of a sudden, you know, they're not. And that, I mean, that really does, it happens in a day, you know. You go from, okay, yeah, it's my girlfriend, to, oh, wait, okay, it's my boyfriend. And so, you know, thank goodness she's just been completely supportive, that, you know, this whole almost 6 years of us being together. And, you know, we've talked, she's told me that, you know, she kind of knew when we first got together, you know, but, you know, kind of knowing and then dating a man, two different things. And so, I mean, there have been positives, you know, and there also have been, you know, harder things that, you know, we've really come together and worked through, and we're still working on. You know, going from being, you know, two girls in public holding hands, you get looked at, you know, you have people talk to you, say, you know, rude things, especially, you know, in high school, unfortunately. And being what is perceived to be, you know, an average heterosexual couple in public, now nobody looks at us. So that's mm. awesome. But as a couple, people ask her all the time, so are you a lesbian or are you straight now? And I've talked to her, and for a while I was definitely one of those obnoxious people constantly asking her. So, like, you know, are you looking at girls now or are you looking at boys? And like I said, it's so much more complex than that. For her, I can't speak for her, you know, but we've talked about it, and you know what she says is, you know, she just loves me, you know, and if we were to ever break up, knock on wood, she probably wouldn't be with another man. She said if she did, they would have to be really open-minded, you know, having been with me for so long, which is amazing. And then, you know, as a couple, so before, like I said, hormones really affect you way more than you think. So the level that we connected on before and the level that I could be empathetic on with her has really dropped drastically.
What?
Drastically.
Really?
Yeah.
Talk more about that one.
Yeah, say more about that.
I'm a pretty sensitive guy, all right? I am. But sometimes, you know, we'll be talking and she wants this huge, deep response. And I've got nothing but, yeah, that's cool. And she's like, okay, well, say more. I was like, okay, well, yeah, I like it. Sounds like a good plan. And that's really all that I've got. And we're working on that. We're really working on, I'm working on being more understanding. And it's kind of weird because it's like I used to be right there with her. I used to completely get what was going on in her head. And now I don't at all, really, you know, and I have to try really hard to sit down and say, all right, August, you know, this is how she's feeling. This is what she's thinking. Try and relate here. And so that has been really hard, you
in
know,
hard in the relationship.
In the relationship, yeah. Because, I mean, you know, she felt like she was kind of losing me in a way. And, you know, I've sat her down and explained to her, you know, it's not that, you know, I'm trying to be distant or anything like that. It's the fact that my brain, for some reason, is not allowing me to completely grasp what you're feeling. And, you know, with that, I've learned you don't need to really, you know, understand it. It's being there and talking about it anyway. And so we're working on that.
Do you have to like regulate your dosage or something?
Of testosterone?
No. No, I don't know. I'm asking. I'm curious. Really.
Nope. It's the same shot every 2 weeks, which sucks, by the way, but it's worth it. But yeah, it's the same. No, I've had to play around with the dosage anyway, just to make sure that I'm at the right level. And yeah, no matter, you know, how low I'm at or you know, if I'm up where I should be, it's the same thing. It's like your brain really, really changes. It's kind of weird. It's cool, but it's weird.
Mm-hmm. Wow. But at least both of you are sitting down and really trying to work it.
So. Yeah. And you know, it's been like 3 years since I started hormones. So, I mean, we've come a really long way, and I mean, I can get deep with her now. It takes more work, but mm-hmm. we do it.
Mm-hmm. So it sounds like that sensitive side of yourself can show up when it needs be.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like she's complained, I used to cry all the time at everything. And I definitely don't cry anymore, but I'm still sensitive. So, you know, I can sit and feel with her, which is important to her, especially if that's something you've had in a relationship, you know, no matter how much she loves me, you're going to miss that. Mm-hmm. And so I really strive to try and still give her that.
Mm-hmm. You two you're engaged, correct?
Yes, we are.
Uh-huh. And that's been happening for how long? And when is our wedding date? Or no pressure or anything.
The goal is to actually be married at the end of this year in December. So yeah, you know, we've been together since we were 17. So we're 23 now. It'll be 6 years in December. That's when we originally got together. That's why, you know, we kind of chose that date. So yeah, the goal is this December.
Mm. Wow. That's
nice. I've been sitting here wondering, I know there's a huge age difference, you know, I'm in my early 60s, you're 23, so there's a difference. However, we had a friend our age who about 20 years ago, who was a lesbian, fell in love with a man, and is still with him, and they've had a child together, but she lost friendships over it. Mm. She lost a lot of lesbian friendships because the lesbians saw her as, you know, I don't know if you want to call her a traitor, but they just said, oh, you went to the other side.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Now you have heterosexual privilege. Like you were saying, August, you can walk and hold Haley's hand. And
yeah.
It's awesome. Nobody looks at you anymore. You don't get any of those comments anymore. And so I'm just wondering if there's been, not to belabor the point at all, but have there been any negative fallouts with your friends when you transitioned?
Not over the transition, no. Mm-hmm. Life happens. So, you know, we've, you know, dropped friends, lost friends, whatever. Yeah. But the friends that we have had around and are not many, you know, we keep our circle pretty tight. And the people that we have around, I mean, thankfully, have been really amazing.
So great.
Her family is very interesting. So her dad is gay. Her mom is straight. Her sister is a lesbian and married happily with a baby. So, you know, it's interesting. So, yeah. You know, she came from that. So it was like, you know, she could literally be whoever, whatever she wanted to be. And I think, you know, she did a really good job at surrounding herself with friends like that. And when we got together, especially because I had moved, you know, I gained those friends too. And so just luckily we've had a really good experience with that.
Mm-hmm. It's amazing just sitting here looking at you, August, this young man, right? And my experience is, when it comes to transgender transitioning, yeah, thank you, the tongue tie. My experience with older people, like in their 50s or 60s, and I've even written letters as a therapist for certain sexual reassignment. So I'm just curious, where do you find your strength? How do you hold the such hugeness of changing and at such a young age? I mean, I'm just curious about that. Because I know how difficult it was for the older people, but I know you're younger, but to have such strength and courage.
Yeah, I mean, no, it was really hard. And, you know, sometimes it still is. I still get anxiety 3 years later about shot day. I hate that day. What happened was I actually almost committed suicide because I got so – I've always struggled with depression, but it got worse when I realized, you know, who I was. And because of my mom, I was scared to go ahead and be that. And it was that night that I really realized that I couldn't not do it. Or, you know, my mom could have a dead daughter or she could have – a son who was alive, whether she wanted to be a part of that or not. And so a lot of my strength comes from Haley. She actually walked in the bathroom right before I was about to take a bunch of pills. And I had a letter written justifying how it would be better for everybody in my life. And looking back on it now, I mean, that was just some crazy delusion, you know, and I'm so glad that she walked in. I'm so glad it didn't happen. But that was really the turning point where I realized I can't go on like this anymore. It's not going to pass. I'm not going to get over it. I can't live like this. And so with that night and just Haley being so supportive, And her family is absolutely amazing as well. So having them around me and Haley living with me, you know, every day, helping me through it, that's really mostly where it comes from. And then just, like I said, you know, my mom shut me up all the time as a kid. She beat the crap out of me all the time. And so dealing with all that, you know, being kicked out at 18, you know, that was kind of where I was like, this has to change. It can't be like that anymore. So...
Wow. Oh, take a breath after that, huh? So are you in relationship now? You see your mom, or are you in relationship with family, stepdads? Or?
I hate my stepdad. Like I said, he's just a huge jerk. So I called him dad, and as a female, when, you know, this whole thing blew up that I was dating women, he just completely disowned me. I have a little brother and sister on his side, 17 for my brother and almost 9 for my sister. And he literally told me when I was 15 years old that he didn't want me around his kids. So, yeah, I couldn't care less about him. But unfortunately, my mother is no longer in my life either. and that has been hard. I'm very happy to say that I'm being adopted by
what?
Two moms.
What?
Yes, oh, we are in the process of filling out the paperwork and getting that done. So
tell us more about that. That's
so
exciting.
Yeah, I met one of them in this play, Private Lives, Private Lies.
Yes. Good things happen in this play, y'all.
Good things do happen. Yeah, I met them both. One of them was in it, like I said, and they both have been absolutely amazing to me. I think it all happened around Mother's Day, and I was just crying really, really bad. I was a mess. And that's kind of when more of my story came out to the whole cast. And, you know, one of my moms came to me and was like, I'll be your mom. I know it's not the same, but I'll be your mom. And, you know, so I acquired two moms, and it has been absolutely amazing. I was talking to Haley just the other night because we went over there for dinner. I mean, because my biological mom treated her like garbage too. So it was awful for her as well. And so it's healing for me to have, you know, two moms now, not just one, but two, who treat me well and love me and care about me. But it's also really healing for Haley to come around, you know, my family and have them care about her and be there for her. So they are two amazing women. I also got three new brothers on their side too. So,
oh my goodness.
So yeah, I've got a family now, you know, whether my biological mom wants to be around or not, that's her decision. But my life had to go on, and I found people who loved me and cared about me for exactly who I was. So that's been amazing.
Wow. So you are an adult being adopted.
I am an adult being adopted, yes.
That is like pretty amazing.
It's, yeah.
And
it's
you
unique.
Were so open to it. You were ready.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Who you know, asked who to be who?
She offered. And I said yes, you know.
Wow.
She's not going to be in the play this next time around. And so I messaged her and I was like, please, you know, like, don't drop out of my life, please. Like, I actually need you. And that was when she said, we're not going anywhere. If you want us to adopt you, we will, you know, just to show you that. And
just like that.
All right.
Wow.
Let's do it. So.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A love story. A real honest to goodness love story that, like, unexpected.
Yeah, absolutely.
So beautiful. Yeah. Congratulations.
And I heard from one of them, and something said, what did they say about... oh, yeah, we will be at Ukiah. We will be wherever you guys go because our son will be there.
Yep. I had dinner over there the other night with Haley and a friend, too, which it was cool, too, because I haven't brought a friend home in years because I'd have to apologize for how my mom was. But so, yeah, we went over there and I looked at them and I said, so... You guys are coming to the play, right? Because and they were like, yeah, yep, of course. I was like, all right.
Oh, so, that is so fabulous. I'm happy for you and happy for them.
Thank you.
I mean, what a generous thing to do to offer to adopt someone. And
yeah,
and
absolutely.
You didn't know each other very long since April.
Yeah.
And you just knew it. You just know when something's right.
I mean, yeah. And I know when I'm there, when I'm with them, you know, one of them called me and talked to me on the phone for like an hour. And it was so natural and so amazing and healing. And I don't know. I couldn't be more thankful at all.
Mm. I'm so happy for you, August.
Thank you.
You deserve it.
Thank you.
You're such a love bug.
Thanks.
I mean, you probably have the whole half of the cast wanted to adopt you. You know that, right?
I know. I do know that, actually.
We all wanted to be your mommies.
Yeah. So you have lots of aunties and uncles.
I do. Yep. I sure do. Yep.
Okay. So we're getting close to the bottom of our show. And there are two questions.
All right. I'm ready.
One is... we're going to do the advice one later. But
okay.
If we can go just, what's important to you? What do you want the audience to know about you? Like
about me.
About you. About your heart. About what you believe in. Or.
All right. Okay. Well, growing up, I heard nothing but numbers and statistics. You know, kids who are abused or come from broken homes, they're going to be the same thing. And you know, I heard that in school, you know, in health, where it was like, here's the statistic, you know, blah, blah, blah percent of kids are going to grow up to be this way, or they're going to abuse their own kids, or they're going to end up in an abusive relationship. And I'm proud to say that I'm not the number. I'm not the statistic. I am the one that broke it. And my kids will not experience the same thing that I experienced. Healy will never experience what, you know, I watched my parents do together. So that's what I want people to know. It's like about me is just that I told myself as a kid, you know, I will not be the person my mother is, and I will not be the person my stepdad is. I will never touch my kids. I won't call them names or say hurtful things to them, because, you know, that really cuts bad. So as a kid, I always told myself I wasn't going to be that, and I'm actually really proud of myself, because, you know, and it is a fight, because my mom kind of messed me up really bad mentally. But it's taken work, you know, and I am honestly really proud of myself. I can sit here and say, you know, I'm definitely not the people that my parents were.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
So you're letting the audience know, people out there who believe that they are like their parents,
yeah,
that they don't have to be.
You definitely do not have to be. Break it. Mm-hmm. Break that chain now. You know, if you're going to have kids, make sure that they never see that kind of life, because that's definitely important. Mm-hmm. And if you're not, yeah, just if you're not going to have kids, just know that you do not have to be that. You know, be who you want to be. Be somebody that you can be proud of.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. So, yeah, so that's part of the advice giving or suggestions or mm-hmm. something that you want to share with people out in the community. So if you take about a minute or so to just...
This was the one question I heavily thought about, so I'm ready for this one.
Okay, yeah. So go for it.
So basically what I have to offer is that you have no obligation to be around or be a part of people's lives for people who do not accept you or love you or support you or allow you to be whoever you are, you know, lesbian, gay, straight, bisexual, trans, gender, whatever. You have no obligation, whether they're blood or not. If they're hurting you in any way, and remember, verbal abuse is also abuse. So if somebody is hurting you in any way or not allowing you to be yourself, you know, I learned the hard way and it took me 23 years, but you have absolutely no obligation to stand there and take it.
Wonderful. And if we had time, we have a few more seconds here. One more minute. I was just thinking maybe you can leave the audience with a line from the end of your young love to dad. I'm putting you on the spot here.
All right.
When you told your dad to, like, okay, I'm leaving.
All right. Pretty intense here. All right. Yes, Dad, Donald, he's my boyfriend. Now you know the truth. I could never introduce him to you as my boyfriend. And so that you won't have to look at me in disgust for much longer, I'm going to pack and leave.
Yeah.
Mm.
He gave you the mild version.
I did. I don't want to yell on the air.
I know. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank
for
you
being
so much
here.
For being here, August.
Thank you.
You've really helped me understand a little bit more about trans person, and I hope you've helped the audience understand a little bit more. And remember, everyone, just like August, you too can be living proof that through sharing your passion, you can use your creativity as another way to help the world. And you too can be visible and vibrant in telling your story. And this is Diana and Sheridan, and we'll be back next month with Living Proof. Until then,
good night.
Tune in next Sunday night for Outbeat Music with Michaela Kennan. That's at 8 p.m. and only here on Radio 91. Support for Outbeat Radio on KRCB-FM comes from members and from the Summer Repertory Theater, now celebrating its 45th season. Summer Rep brings Broadway to Sonoma County, presenting 5 musicals and plays this summer, including the musical Rock of Ages, nominated for 5 Tony Awards. Built around classic rock songs from the 80s, Rock of Ages runs July 2nd through August 11th at Burbank Auditorium on the Santa Rosa Junior College campus. Show calendar and ticket information is available right now at summerrep.com or by calling 707-527-4307. And Napa Valley College is currently registering students for the LGBT Studies program. Classes meet on Monday nights at 6:30 p.m. starting on August 15th. You can learn more at napavalley.edu. You're listening to KRCB FM Windsor Santa Rosa, Radio 91. Online all the time at krcb.org. It's just before 9 p.m. Stay with us. Open Space District is next.